This morning, we're looking at this for the next 5 days. We're going to be looking at the best butts in the Bible. It's my morning topic. Very excited about it. But few bits of news and stuff before we get onto the talk. First bit of news, really excited. This morning, my son took his first proper footsteps in the dining hall this morning. So, honest, we were buzzing, weren't we? It was brilliant. He was just like walking. He's like, ah. It's amazing. He looked like the baddie off Men in Black, you know, the one in the sort of like big anorak that walks like that a bit. But still, it was really cool, and I was just loving that. So that's cool. So yeah, just very exciting milestone. It means that he's now going to be able to run away from us when he's causing mischief, which is scary. But there we go. So I'm loving that. Two things. I never wanted to become one of these Christians, but apparently I have to become one of these Christians now. I've actually got a book, right, which is like a little bit like, yeah, because I kind of wrote it. And then I got told that I had to sell it as well. And so I thought, I've only got 9 of the jolly things here anyway. So £6.99, but special offer this week, £7. It's all yours, right? So come and get one off me this week. 2 for £15, can't say fairer than that. Okay, those of you who've got GCSE and maths know that was just like proper rude. And the other thing, because I'm nice, and you might not want to read the book. By the way, the book is written just like I talk. So you think I'm bonkers, why don't you try reading this thing, honestly. I reckon most people who don't know me or English probably think the person who wrote this was probably on something when they wrote it, but there we go. But because we self-published it, we edited it ourselves, and we left, there's a lot of exclamation marks in there as well. Like, I read it now, and I'm like, flip neck, I must have been like on a lot of coffee when I wrote that. It's like, exclamation mark city. But there we go, it's a book called Offensive. Some of you been on the Offensive course? Yeah, thanks, Shanice. Feeling that, yeah, and the Dinner's crew at the back. Well, it's just kind of like, it's the stuff from the Offensive course. And for those of you who don't want to buy nothing off me, that's fine, I don't care. I don't get it anyway. But I've also done a little rap EP, okay, which I've got one for every one of you for free. Oh, yeah. Oh my days. Yeah, Christian rap, C-rap, it's yours, right? And there we go. it's a very good genre as far as I'm concerned. Christian rap is yours. Just come and grab me later, and it's only got 5 tracks on it, and so you can have one of them. Happy days, Bob's your uncle. What? And what's on there? Yeah, that's And also, there's a really cool one which I actually rap on it, and Michelle, my wife, sings on it, which is like a nice little number. And there's just a few other things I've put on there as well. So you can have one of them. Happy days. Now, with this best butts in the Bible thing this morning that we're starting, right? Like, the evening talks are proper full on. Like, I know how long I preached last night, 2 hours, something like that, yeah? But like, the morning one's going to be more like little nuggets, like little chicken nuggets of just truth. So so we're just going to do like, you know, a little chicken nugget of truth right there for you. But what we're going to do is we're actually going to have a little theme tune for the mornings, right? So every morning I say we're going to do best butts in the Bible. We're going to go, this is the theme tune, right? And I'll do it once, then you got to do it with me. It goes, ba, 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 da, ba, ba, da, ba, da, best butts in the Bible, right? So that's how it goes. So everyone with me now, we're going to go, ba, 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 da, ba, ba, da, ba, best butts in the Bible. Okay, now you'd be happy to know, and we'll do that a couple of times throughout the week. So by the time you go home, you go back to your church and we sing, you'll be saying, Vicar, I don't want to sing that hymn. Can we sing the best butts in the Bible lyric? Because I like that one. And you're all going to be like wanting to do the whole best butts in the Bible lyric. That's fine. But this has got nothing to do with butts, as in buttocks. This, you know, because that would just be cheeky, wouldn't it? So we're not doing that. Come on. Because there's only one T, right? Only one T. And the butts, as in the buttocks, or the buttocks, as Forrest Gump calls them, that's got 2 T's. So this is a different sort of butt that we're going to find in the Bible. And basically, the word butt is a really cool saying, isn't it? Like, if someone says to you, like, I really like you, but, then generally speaking, it's not going to, like, you know, the rest of the sentence ain't going to go very well, is it? But in the same time, if you've done something really bad and like, and your teacher says, do you know what? You completely messed that assignment up. But that could kind of turn it in a good direction. It's like saying, look, you scuttled the ship, but there's a plank that you can still hang on to. It could be okay. And but completely changes a sentence. It just does. If you're from the valleys, you use it every other word. It's like, all right, but, how are you, but? Tidy but. Like, that's different. That's a different sort of but again, all right? This is biblical buts we're looking at here, all right? And so, what I've got 5 buts, 5 sentences, which I think are awesome, in the Bible, where the meaning and the kind of, and the application for your life and mine completely changes because of that one little word but. 3 letters, it's like a hinge. It like opens up a whole other door, which if that word wasn't there, you would have been stuck in a really negative room. You Open that door, the butt is the hinge, and you get this awesome room on the other side, and you can walk straight through it, and you can see just what God is like. I'll stop blabbering on about it. Let's have a look at the first butt in the Bible. And it's a bloke called Joseph. You all know, you all heard of Joseph? Joseph and his flashy jacket. You heard of that one, yeah? Yeah, Genesis, this is the first book of the Bible. I thought, like, there's no kind of rhyme or reason to these butts we're looking at, apart from the fact, that we're starting, we're going chronologically. Chronologically. Six syllables. That's my record. I'm just going to make a note of that. I don't know how you spell it. But like, we're going from the start to the finish of the Bible. This is the first one in Genesis. Bloke called Joseph. Anybody ever heard the story of Joseph? You might have seen the Disney film, Joseph, King of Dreams, I think it's called. Yeah, you might have seen that. Well, we'll have a go. This is basically what happens in the story of Joseph, all right? I'll be as quick as I can. Joseph had 11 brothers, but his dad liked him the best. We bought him a flashy jacket. He had lots of dreams. His brothers didn't like it. Give him a kick and chucked him in a pit. They thought, let's not kill him. Let's sell him to a bunch of gypsies going on a trip. Innit? He sells him to the gypsies going on a trip. Sells him to the Egyptian guy called Potiphar. Potiphar's a good bloke. Joseph does a good job, does well. But then the problem is that Potiphar's wife thinks he's a bit of all right. Tries getting him into bed all the time and not just to go to sleep, if you get me. And so all of a sudden, he's like, I don't want to have sex with you. And she's like, why not? I'm fit. He's like, no, you're not. You're my master's wife. I couldn't do that. She's like, well, I want you to. He's like, well, you're a hoe. I ain't doing it. And so he runs for a mile, leaving his jacket in her hand. All of a sudden, she's like, right, and I'm going to get you chucked in jail. I'm going to make up a story that you tried to rape me. And she tells her husband he tried raping me. And so he just chucked in jail. He's there just like thinking, Lord, what are you doing? Joseph was a good guy. He wasn't a bloke that that deserved all that. A lot of stuff came up and hit Joseph in the face, left, right, and center. His dad loved him. He loved God. All right, he's a bit chopsy to his brothers, which is a good thing not to be, because your brothers, if they're bigger than you, are going to chuck you in a pit. But he still shouldn't have done all that, right? And the bottom line is, guys, that his is an example of what can happen to life, even when it's not even your own fault. I don't know what your day's been like. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I know this, that at some point in your life, you're going to be in a situation where you're like, God, what is going on? Why am I going through this? Because I didn't ask for this. I thought following you was going to be a blessing to me. And look, it's like the closer I get to you, the more trouble this world seems to throw at me. I love what happens next, though. It's brilliant. We're going to get to the butt now. Because Joseph's brothers had basically dipped his flashy jacket in animal blood and told his dad, who loved him, look, Joseph's dead. So his dad, as far as he's concerned, has been dead forever. Ever since that point, Joseph's been dead. But he's been in Egypt. But what happens, he's in jail, and there's these two people in jail with him, and one of them gets out of jail and forgets about him, even though he's interpreted one of his dreams. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he has a bunch of dreams as well. And he's freaking out because he's got dreams of big fat cows getting eaten by little skinny cows. And it's all a bit scary, right? And so he's like, what's going on? So he says to this bloke, his cupbearer, do you know anyone who can interpret dreams? And he goes, well, there's nothing on Google. I bet we'd have a chat with Joseph, who's in jail. So he pulled Joseph out. Joseph tells him, this is what's going down. 7 years of shed loads of food, 7 years of all you can eat for £5. And then all of a sudden, 7 years of jackal to eat. So we need to do something about it. Joseph sets up a master plan. He says, right, we're going to get loads of food from the 7 good years, chuck it in a barn. So when we get seven years of famine, 7 years of no food, we got enough to eat. Woohoo! And it's like, and it works. And Pharaoh's like, you're the man. I can't believe it. He promotes him to proper high up second in command in the whole country. And all of a sudden, when those 7 years of famine come, everyone around Egypt is starving because there's no food. So they start going to Egypt to get some munch. Are you with me so far? It's all good, yeah? I've done it as fast as I can. I'm feeling really hot behind my ears. I might pass out, but it's okay, right? So that's what's going down. Joseph's 11 brothers and their families and Joseph's dad and his, all that family is starving to death in Canaan. And Jacob, that's Joseph's dad, sends his brothers, go to Egypt, get a bunch of munch for us. They go to Egypt. As far as they're concerned, Joseph's dead. They don't recognize him. He's got one of them sort of strange Egyptian hats on and stuff. And he's got a really good tan. And he's basically just, he just looks walk like an Egyptian. They're like, well, that can't be Joseph. Yeah, who remembers that song? What? Gotta love that track, man. We gotta bring that back. Let's remix it. But here we go. So Joseph recognizes them. He's like, you sly old dogs, I know who you are. But you know what Joseph does? He blesses them anyway. A whole bunch of stuff happens with his little brother. Won't go into that. But the bottom line is, Joseph sorts them out. And then he says, go and tell your old man, I'm alive. And his brother's like, no way. And all his family goes to Egypt. And they all hang out in Egypt, eating Egyptian beef burgers and all that. And they're loving it. And then what happens is this. Bit of a sad day in the story. Joseph's dad, Jacob, dies. And he'd made Joseph promise him, look, when I die, as much as I like Egypt, it's more of a holiday than a home, I want you to bury me back in Canaan where I belong. So like basically half of Egypt just walks to like Canaan, bit of a trip because they didn't have no trains or nothing, bury him, everyone cries for a while because you do, but like them funerals last for time back in those days. And when it's all over, this is what happens. Joseph's brothers step to Joseph and they're like, look, now dad's out the way. Blatantly, Joseph's going to want to kill us, isn't he? Blatantly, Joseph is going to want to get revenge. We did that stuff to him. We did things to him which, if he had any sense of justice, if he wanted to, he could snuff our lives out just like that. And they step to Joseph, and they basically come to him, and they say, look, have mercy on us, Joseph, because, we know what's going to go down. And this is what Joseph says to them. I love this. They're fearful because they know they've done wrong against Joseph. And this is what Joseph says. Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but, there's our but. That's why it's pink and big. It's a big pink but. God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's a brilliant but right there. Because that's Joseph saying, look, you might have intended harm against me, but I got a faith in a God who's bigger than even your plans and your scheming. I got a God who sees the big picture. And you might have intended to harm me, but my God had a plan the whole time. And the crud that I've gone through, the things I've gone through, I can see now that that was all part of what God was doing. I don't know if you've ever seen a tapestry. Have you ever seen a tapestry? If you've got like Welsh relatives in the chapel, the chapel communities over in West Wales, you've got a tapestry somewhere in the house hanging, haven't you? Like, see? Lovely. Well, my mother's from Aberystwyth. She had a nice one for the fireplace, a woman by a window like that. And tapestries, here's the thing with tapestries, right? They look nice on the side you can see, but if you turn them around and have a look at the back of a tapestry, it just looks mental. It's just like just bits of string and bits of color. It just looks like a mess. And you need to see the other side of the tapestry to make sense of the mess. And can I say to you guys, if you put your faith in God, if you really trust God, no matter how messy your life might feel, you might not have all the answers. You might not be able to say, I know what's going on right now. I guarantee you there were times Joseph was in jail, just eating just filth, having to pee against the wall and smell it for the next couple of months, having to sort of like hang out with criminals who were just like making fun of him and making fun of his God. All the stuff he went through, all the questions. What did I do, God? Why me? Why is my life the one that's turned out like this? No one else in my family went down this route. No one else is going through what I'm going through. What are you doing to me, God? What's going on? And yet, through it all, he has this unshakable faith that despite what's going on in his life, God is still good. And guys, can I say to you that no matter what happens in this world, let alone in your personal life, I promise you, God is still good. Jeremiah tells us that, God speaks to us through Jeremiah. And he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. My mother, as a lot of you know, if you were in Teen Scene 2 years ago, my mother got diagnosed with cancer about 4 years ago. It's just come back again for the fourth time. She's still just going through chemo and all that. She's finding out today, if she's going to have to go through chemotherapy again. And when she got diagnosed with chemotherapy, with cancer, the cancer that she had wasn't just some sort of like small cancer. They found a tumor the size of a full-size football inside her, and it spread all over. And there's not really a lot of joy you can get out of that. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. God, why my mother? Why she got cancer? My mother didn't have as big a problem with it as everyone else. But you just couldn't see any good in the situation. What can be good about cancer? What can be good about staring death in the face? What can be good about chemotherapy and your hair falling out? What can be good in that? Surely God would be more glorified, wouldn't he, if she didn't have cancer? This is what my mother said to me 2 weeks ago. She said, I have had more opportunities to share my faith and my love for Jesus Christ since I've had cancer than I did in the rest of my life. She's getting phone calls from people that aren't even Christians that have heard that there's this woman who's had cancer and is smiling and singing her way through it, and they want to know what the secret is. Can you come and visit me and tell me how you're dealing with cancer? Because I've been diagnosed and I'm falling apart. She's speaking to all sorts of different people. These doors are opening up, and I've had to come to the conclusion, and this is my mother. I'm going to talk about my mum a bit more tonight, but she's my mother. And I've had to come to the conclusion that what will give God more glory isn't even if he healed her of cancer, but if through the way she suffered, she can lead people to Jesus Christ. And there's more people in heaven because my mother had cancer than there would have been if she didn't. I got to say, God knows what he's doing, even in the painful messes in our lives. I want to say to you, there's not one thing that you go through in your lives that God's not sovereign over, that he's not in control over. People have done things to you. Some of you have suffered at the hands of other people. It's not like accidental or like, you know, or circumstantial, like cancer or recession. This is people deliberately. You know their names, their faces. Maybe they're around you. They have hurt you. And you're like, God, why? I want to say to you that please take a leaf out of Joseph's book. He could have snapped his fingers and his brothers could have been killed, executed in an instant. He had the power to do that. And yet because he understands God and he can see with different spectacles to the rest of this world, he can say, you meant this for evil. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. There's no such thing as a wasted trial in your life. The pain you've gone through, God can use you to minister to other people who've gone through that pain. The things that you're going through right now, believe it or not, they can shape you into a more godly person than you would have been if you hadn't gone through what you're going through right now. Because perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and there's a hope that doesn't disappoint us. I think that's an amazing little nugget right there, don't you? Guys, God can turn it round. The promise of God isn't become a Christian and you'll never have any problems ever again. The promise of God isn't like, you know, you'll be singing and dancing your way into heaven. The promise of God is he is good. He is for you. He is with you. And one day he's going to turn that tapestry round and you're going to see what a masterpiece it was. And you're going to say, thank you, God, even for the crud, because I could see even what you were doing there. Yeah? Let me just pray for you guys. God, I want to thank you for Joseph's amazing faith. I thank you for the fact that he could see what had gone on in his life, and it wasn't just, and it wasn't fair, and it was painful, but he could also see your hand at work in it. Lord, I pray for my friends here this morning, no matter where they're at right now, no matter what they're going through, I pray, Lord, that their circumstances, rather than driving them to despair, to revenge, and to anger, Lord, that the trials that they're going through and the things that they've suffered will make them strong, will drive them into your arms, that you will give them amazing faith that is beyond what this world understands. I pray, Lord, for opportunities to give amazing grace to those who don't deserve it, because that gives you glory, that gives you joy. Thanks for this morning, Lord. Be with us for the rest of this day. We love you loads. Amen.